welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Turn the Page podcast. I'm Megan, one of the children's librarians here at Syosset, and my special guest here today is children's author Lisa Greenwald. She's written some fantastic books for kids, all different series, The Friendship List, T.K. Summers, the To Be Honest series. So I'm so happy to have you here today, Lisa. Welcome.
Yay, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're huge fans of you at the library. We've read your books and we've enjoyed them so much. I think that they have such strong themes that are so applicable to life and good for kids, you know, especially as they get older and they're transitioning between the children's and teen years. So my first question for you is, what inspired you to become a writer and get into writing children's books?
Okay, so it's a couple of different things. When I was a kid, I was very bored. I tell my own daughters this all the time, that boredom is good. Sometimes boredom is good. But anyway, I was a very bored kid. And so I would make up stories all the time in my head. I would take my mom's clothing catalogs and whatever she got in the mail, and I'd make up stories about the people in the catalogs. So I really always loved making stuff up. And novels were a huge influence on me when I was growing up as a young reader. When I would get the Scholastic book order in the mail, I mean, at school, I would be so excited. I would run home. I would pick out what I wanted. I was obsessed with this series called Friends Forever. And it really didn't have a huge plot. It was really about these four friends and they were hanging out and one moved away and they just all loved each other so much. And I think that on some level, you know, writing children's books just sort of connects all my favorite things, reading and writing and making up stories and all that. It just sort of made sense that that's something I would want to do.
That's awesome. Did you have a favorite author growing up that inspired you?
Well, I read all of Judy Blume's books and I loved her stuff, but ultimately my favorite book of all time is Tuck Everlasting by Natalie Babbitt. I like her other books too, but I wouldn't say she's my favorite author. I just absolutely love that book. It was life-changing. I read it in sixth grade in Miss Mayer's class at Willits Road School in Roslyn Heights, and it changed my entire life. I've read it probably 300 times since then. I have a poster on my wall. I just love that book. I think it's the perfect middle grade novel.
I love reading that book too. I read it when I was in sixth grade. It was required reading and I fell in love with it too. And I think it's a great book and like, it's right. A great starting point. Like these authors, like when we were a kid, like, you know, they help us so much, you know, like.
For sure. I heard a rumor once, and I don't know if this is true, that didn't need any revision or any editing at all. That Natalie Babbitt submitted it and it was perfect on the first try, which does not happen to me with my books. And I don't even know if that's true, but I like to believe that it just sort of came out of her and it was just perfect. I got to meet her one time, which was amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so for your writing process, what is like, how do you start? Do you start at the end? Do you formulate your story? What is that like for you?
So I never start at the end. I tend to write in a pretty linear way. But what it is that it usually comes from a character. Once I have a character in mind, and often the character's name, names are really important to me. Sometimes I can't start writing if the name of the character doesn't feel right. So I love reading character-driven novels and I love writing character-driven novels because I just love to get into the essence of who these people are, what they're yearning for, what they're struggling with, what they want, who they're close to, who they're not close to. And so often my ideas come from just one character and then I go from there thinking about, you know, all the different facets of their personality, all the things that they're going through, and then story comes through that way.
I can totally see that because your books are so character driven and they have such, you know, strong-willed characters. In Pink and Green, like Lucy is such like a strong young female character. She wants to, you know, help, you know, her family's pharmacy, and then she gets into makeup and she has her own line of makeup products. How did you come up with the character of Lucy?
So I was really hoping you were going to ask that because I was just going to tell you anyway. it's kind of random. So I was at my brother's graduation from the University of Pittsburgh. And, you know, I was sitting in the row with my family and there was a girl in the row in front of me. And she was actually with her grandfather. And originally in the draft, it was Lucy's grandfather, not the grandmother who ran the pharmacy. And eventually it evolved and it was going to be a women-owned business and all that. But so it started out that I was sitting there and I saw this girl and she was so psyched to be at this graduation. She was sitting with her grandfather. And I never talked to her at all. I could not find her. If someone paid me $1 million, I would not be able to find her. And I just thought, this is Lucy. Like, this is my character. And everything came from just sort of observing this bubbly, effervescent, happy girl. I mean, the whole concept of the pharmacy came because my grandfather was a pharmacist, and he was retired by the time I was born, but my mom would often help out in the pharmacy in high school, and she would tell me about what that was like. And so I sort of always had a love of pharmacies. Even today, I love independent pharmacies. I'll only really shop at them, but occasionally you can peruse a Duane Reade, and it's great fun for me. Like, I love to look at the face washes and the lotions, and I love that stuff. So that setting came from my love of pharmacies, but Lucy, the character, came from this girl at this graduation with me.
Yeah, that's so interesting because it's not often like you read a book, you know, like especially a middle grade novel about a pharmacy, like it's an interesting setting. And then, you know, this is such, you know, she's such a strong-willed girl and like it, the books are so great. They're great reads. And I know that you've also written the Friendship List series, which is also one of your other middle grade novels. And I started reading 13 and 3/4 and I'm really getting into it.
Yay.
I was curious because I know a lot of kids go to summer camps here, like sleepaway camps, and the characters in that story go to sleepaway camp. Did you have an experience going to sleepaway camp yourself?
Yes, definitely. So I first started going to camp when I was 10. And then I changed camps and I was going into 9th grade when I went to Eisner camp for the first time. I didn't want to go because I'd been to other camps and I thought I was too old, but my mom was the kind of person who just doesn't take no for an answer. She said, you don't have a choice, you're going. And it changed my whole life because I absolutely loved it. I made my best friends there. I met my husband there. My kids go there now. I think people often say Disney World is the happiest place on earth, but that's not true. Eisner Camp is the happiest place on earth. It's magical. And I was so happy that I could write about Camp Silver for Ari, which is based on Eisner, because I just think that summer camp is magical no matter what. It can be a Jewish camp. It could be a theater camp. It could be a sports camp. I've heard from so many readers who will write to me and say, I'm going to camp for the first time and I'm really nervous. I really hope it's like Camp Silver, you know, was for Ari. So it's definitely that part of the book comes from my love of camp, but I love that I can sort of share that love with readers and it doesn't have to necessarily be a Jewish camp. It could be any kind of camp.
I think that's a perfect setting for a book, you know, because like a lot of kids go to camp and I think they can just relate to the characters in the story. You know, there's some like, you know, kind of like they're just, you know, settling into being teenagers and just like the typical angst that, you know, comes along with that. And
right.
I think it's just great. Like I'm really enjoying it right now.
Oh yeah. I'm so glad.
Yeah. And I know you have another To Be Honest book that just came out recently.
Yeah. And the last one just came out, I think June.
And those books are written in like texting format, right?
Right.
So, how is that like different than writing a standard type of novel? Did you find like that any more difficult or fun to write?
Actually, I loved it because I think one of my strengths as a writer is dialogue. Mm-hmm. And so, and one of my weaknesses is that sometimes I'll go on too long and parts need to be cut because it gets a little bit slow. So with the TBH books, it was kind of great because it's basically all dialogue. So I really enjoyed writing it. While I was writing the TBH books, I was also writing the Friendship List, and it was a great schedule because I would write Friendship List in the summer, and then I would write 2 of the TBH books during the school year. And it worked out really well because it was sort of like using a different part of my brain for the TBH books. But what I love about those is that they're not intimidating to readers. I think often certain readers can pick up a novel and they can see all the words on the page and think, this is too much, this is too long, this is too boring, I don't want to read this. And they're intimidated and then they don't read. But what my goal was with the TBH books was that they would be accessible. They would seem like, oh, I'm just really picking up someone's phone and reading this. And then they don't realize that they're reading a full novel with a full arc, with a full, you know, character exploration, with a full plot. It's everything, every piece of a novel is in there. It's just written in a different format. So it was cool. And I enjoy getting responses from kids who say, I hated reading until I read this, because yeah, I think it's an entryway to loving reading.
I totally agree with that. Like, there's so many, you know, kids that, you know, are reluctant readers and they just need to read something sometimes in just a different format. And, you know, it's the same story, you know, it's just as detailed and, you know, it's just as complex of a story. It's more easily accessible to them. So I think they're great. Not just to reluctant readers, but kids, you know, are, you know, texting, and that's like full culture, like, you know, of our internet and texting culture, you know, so.
Right. I thought it was an interesting way to tell a story. They were sort of influenced by Lauren Myrickle's TTYL books, which came out, I think, in 2000, which is a while ago at this point. But that was content for you know, the teen audience.
Right.
If they wanted to write an alternate format novel for middle grade readers. And I know everyone loves graphic novels. Unfortunately, I can't draw, so that was out of the question. But I really enjoyed the TBH books.
Yeah, I think they're great. And I mean, like, the Lauren Myrickle books, like you said, are definitely for older readers. So it's definitely that good transition point for them if they want to read something like the Lauren Myrickle books. But this is, like, definitely better for kids, like, you know, before the teenage years. So
yeah, for sure.
That's great. And I know you also, did you finish up the Seagate summer series last year too?
I finished it up a couple of years ago. There were actually only two. And it was a little bit sad because I wanted to write a little bit more about Remy and everybody on Seagate, but I think it's also okay. I get a lot of feedback from dog lovers, and I love the beach, and it's inspired by Fire Island.
I was going to ask you if it was inspired by Long Island or somewhere nearby.
Yeah. Right. I actually have never once stayed overnight on Fire Island. I've only been for the day, but even just a day trip, you feel so far from everything in the best possible way. I love that there are no cars. I love that a lot of the beaches are dog friendly. And I thought this is a great setting for a middle grade novel.
Yeah, I think when you look at the cover of these books, they're so adorable. Like, they're just, like, so tempting to read. Like, the dog is so cute, and it, you know, it's such a sweet story. So I think that, you know, they're definitely another good series for kids to pick up and read, for anyone to pick up and read. Like, you know, as an adult, they're very cute too. Do you have a current idea for something that you're writing right now, or something influenced by one of your other books? Would you ever consider a spinoff series?
I would consider a spinoff. My next novel comes out in May called Dear Friends. So I'm super excited about it. I'll tell you a little bit about it. Is that okay?
Yeah, if you don't mind, if you can give us a teaser. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about a girl who is sort of going through a terrible friendship breakup, and she can't believe this has happened. And so she decides to revisit five of her friendships in her life to learn more about herself as a friend, to figure out what went wrong, to discover how she can be a better friend in the future. And it was very challenging to write, partially because of the pandemic. It was just a challenge, but I'm really pleased with how it turned out. And I think that we all go through friendship breakups, and I don't think it's talked about so much. And I think especially middle grade readers go through friendship breakups too, and so do adults, but it's not discussed in the same way as a romantic breakup. So I'm hoping that this book will reach kids who maybe have gone through something similar and give them some insight into navigating it, because sometimes you don't want a friendship to end, but it does, or other times you're not sure what happened with the friendship and it doesn't seem the same as it once was. So I'm excited about it. Comes out on May 10th.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome. I'm going to tell, you know, all the kids about that, because that sounds like an amazing book. I'm definitely going to be recommending it, because I agree with you. Like, I totally don't see books like that. You might see some things about old breakups, like, you know, like little romancy things here and there, but that is such an important topic, you know, especially as they're going into the middle school years, and things are, you know, you're trying to transition between being a kid and a young adult. And, like, you know, there's a lot of books that talk about, like, the difficulties of school and, you know, like, the usual things, but friendships are so important. And we have some childhood friends that we think are going to be our friends for life, and you just start to drift, like your interests drift, and like, you know, things change in life. So that sounds like a great book.
Yeah, exactly. And you're thinking like, I don't know how this happened. Like what changed and when did it change? You don't always know. And so I enjoyed writing about this character named Eleni and how she sort of has the courage to explore what happened with her friendships.
So for Dear Friends, how long did that take you to write?
It took a while. So let's see, I started it in June of 2020. And it's coming out in May of 2022. But I basically, it went to copy editing in June of 2021. And I think, you know, not everybody knows the stages of publishing, but when a book goes to copy editing, it's like pretty much done at that point. So it took a while. I would say I did 3 pretty extensive revisions for Dear Friends, which is more than I've done for other books. People ask me all the time, what was the hardest book to write? And usually the answer is whichever one I'm working on at that time, because they all seem so hard when you're working on it. But I honestly think Dear Friends was the hardest book I've ever had to write. So I'm hoping that people like it, but I think they will. I'm pleased with how it turned out.
It sounds great. I can't wait to read it, certainly. Good. And I know that like in all your books, you touch on specific themes, like in Pink and Green, you touch on the environmental impact, you know, and how that shapes things. And then the To Be Honest series, like, you know, that's like how social media, like how we communicate with friends. Is there another topic like you would like to talk about in your book? I know Dear Friends is about friendship.
I guess this isn't a secret, but I don't know. I don't know if it's not been announced yet. But anyway, the book I'm working on now really touches on the concept of toxic positivity, which is such a buzzword today. And I don't know if kids necessarily talk about it or even think about it. But for me, I've had a really difficult year with the pandemic. I lost my mom. I lost my grandfather. Anyway, it's not getting so personal, but it's just been a very challenging year. And there's such a thing as people being too positive. I was looking for people to say, this is really hard. It's really hard with the pandemic. It's really hard with this. And I wanted to explore that concept of acknowledging when things are hard. And I think kids go through challenging things too. Of course they do. There's this year and a half has been so challenging for kids with COVID. So I'm excited to explore this. It's not something I've written about before. My character in this book is completely different than pretty much every character I've ever written. But I'm excited about it. And I'm really at the beginning stage. I'm at a first draft, but I'm hopeful that people can connect to it and that we can sort of get away from this positive spin on everything, not to say to be pessimistic, but acknowledge when things are challenging.
Yeah, well, I think that that's such an important topic, and that's something else that's really not touched on upon enough, and kids will totally connect with that. And I'm so sorry for your loss, your losses this year. It's been, you know, it's been such a tough year, but I agree with you. It's like, you know, we have to realize, you know, situations are hard. And we have to acknowledge like things are hard sometimes, and we can't be like, oh, well, things are good all the time, because then it's like, how do we know where to step forward from things? And we realize we need our friends, you know, we need our family to help us, you know. And I think that that sounds like a great book. When is that expected to be completed, you think?
So we're going to draft now. I think that the publication date for that would be summer 2023. So it's such an early stage, but I'm really excited about it. And I know it's sort of a deviation from what I've done. There is a huge friendship component because the character is in a new town. And so she's exploring that. And so there is that friendship theme, but it's different than anything I've ever done. So I hope it turns out.
Well, it sounds amazing. I can't wait to read it. Yeah, I know that'll go fast, you know, to 2023. So
I know time flies by.
Time is flying so quickly now. And
right. Especially with publishing, you're always like a year and a half ahead somehow. So I'm always thinking like, what year are we in? When is this book coming out? You're always a little bit jumbled with time.
Is this book I don't know. I can't ask too much about it. But like, is this book going to touch upon any of the pandemic at all? Or it's just going to be about like just toxic positivity?
I don't think it's going to touch on the pandemic, but it's going to be about how this character has significant challenging things in her life that she herself wants to put a positive spin on. So she's approaching it thinking, if I could just do this and this will be great, and I'm going to make everyone think everything is great, because, you know, she's struggling. And so it's also about how she interacts with other characters who are also struggling and tries to put a positive spin on them. So I don't think it's necessarily going to be about the pandemic, but it's going to be about significant changes in families and dealing with moving and dealing with adjustments and transitions and all of that.
And you think the audience would be middle grade again for this book?
Yeah, definitely middle grade. She's in sixth grade and it's middle school.
All right. Well, that sounds great. I'm totally going to be adding that to my to be read list. Are you reading anything right now that you're really into? Do you have a favorite series? Or
I read so much over the summer that I was obsessed. I got into such a good reading groove. I don't know if you ever get that way, where you read one thing and then you're just like reading so voraciously. It started with when I read Britt Bennett's The Vanishing Half, and then I couldn't stop reading. I read just a million books. I read this book, Everyone in This Room, it sounds so dreary, but it was an amazing book, Everyone in This Room Will Someday Be Dead, and it is an ominous title, but it was excellent. I read The Other Black Girl, which was great. I read 6 Days in June. I read so many books over the summer that now I'm back in the school year, and I also work part-time in a school library, and I feel like I'm getting out of my reading groove. But I want to read, I have on my shelf to read Writers and Lovers, and I can't remember the other book that I just took out on my shelf to read. Anyway, so yeah.
Oh, that sounds awesome. And working in a school library also, that's so great because you get to see the kids all the time and
right,
and you get to talk about your books with them too, I'm sure, so.
Yeah, one sixth grade class I had, I'm not teaching this year, but I used to teach sixth grade library skills. And one class that I had was helped me so much with the first TBH book with all the texting slang and everything. So I think I dedicated the next one to them,
That's awesome.
Particular class.
What do your students ever ask you, like, how would you get into writing? Like, what do you recommend to like a kid or someone who's wants to write? Like, what would be the first step, you think?
Yeah, so some students are definitely more interested in it than others, but what I always say is two things. I say read as much as you can and read outside your comfort zone, which again, I'm not the best at this because like I said, I love character-driven realistic fiction. So I really should be reading tons of fantasy and science fiction and stuff, which I don't do enough of. So I say read as much as you can, read outside your comfort zone, and also carry a notebook with you because there are always ideas everywhere and you think, oh, I'll remember this. And then I don't. Like, I usually have a notebook on my night table and I'll wake up in the middle of the night and think, I'm too tired to turn on the light and write this down. And then I'll think, I'll remember this. And I always forget. So I would say read as much as you can and carry a notebook, keep a journal, and write what's on your heart.
Yeah, that sounds like great advice because I think, you know, I don't know if you would agree with this too, but like every part, you know, aspects of our day is like, you know, can be influenced in your writing. And like, it's so good to just be able to get those thoughts down because sometimes you capture the moment, but in that moment, like you can think of something some more detailed than like, if you try to remember it, like thinking back on it again.
For sure. There's things everywhere and it's impossible to remember them all.
So what is the best way like for fans, libraries, teachers to contact you?
They can always email me. I'm a very good emailer. So my email's on my website. I'm not great at social media. I have a love-hate relationship with social media. I'm always like dreaming of not being on it, but then I'm on it anyway, and I always check it. So they can always email me. They can write to me on Instagram. They can write to me on Twitter. Yeah, and I always respond. The only thing I'm slow to respond to is actual paper mail. And now that no one's really in an office, I haven't been getting as much. So that takes me a little while longer. So I recommend email.
All right, that sounds perfect. So we definitely know where to find you, you know, for any information on your newest reads. Well, I certainly can't wait to read Dear Friends.
That
yes. Comes out in May of next year.
May 10th, 2022.
May 10th, 2022. Okay, I'm definitely adding that to my list. And of course, I recommend all your books. to readers of all ages. Like, they're such amazing and character-driven stories, which I think are fantastic and you don't find enough of. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to conclude this episode of Turn the Page. I'm Megan, and our special guest today was Lisa Greenwald, children's author, and that is concluding our podcast today. Thank you.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.